He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Did Jesus say that a lot? What does that mean? Everybody has ears, I guess, unless they've had a bad accident. But what does he mean by whoever has ears to hear, let him hear? We're talking about the kingdom of God and how there's a gracious blessing that we're talking about. In fact, several. For a minute, we're going to be talking about that, but I wanted to get this in first. Listening is not, should not be passive. What does that mean? Well, here we are. Do something, preacher. And if your faith ought to say, I'm here to get something. Some people, you know, everybody doesn't have to do it the same way, but a lot of people have their Bible open and they follow along. Some people take notes. However you have to do it, you need to have ears to hear, which means when I'm talking and we're looking at the Word of God, it's on you, according to Jesus, to receive it. And he talked about the parable of the sower. I'm not going to go too far into that. Parable of the sower, and they scattered seed everywhere, and only 25% landed on good ground, and the rest of it, just the seed went to waste, basically. So it's our job. This is us. It's not just me. This is us. And when I'm talking and when the Word of God's being read, your job is to soak it up. What is that? How does this apply to me? Do I have faith to believe this? How's God working this out in my life? Do I really understand this? Because some of the things we're going to talk about may challenge your faith a little bit to see the blessings that we have in Christ, the fact that we have a great position in Him. So we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 1 for a minute. Ephesians chapter 1, we're talking about the kingdom of God and why we are in it, the kingdom of God and the blessing of being in the kingdom. Now, blessing is probably a weak word to a lot of people because we say, have a blessed day. We had a blessed trip. But the idea of blessing in the Bible is a big deal because blessing is a spoken prophecy. A spoken prophecy over you by God that says, this is you and this is coming true. So a blessing is a big deal to God. In fact, I've talked about it before. It's not on the screen here, but Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau, and he blessed one of them by accident. Wasn't by accident, it was by trickery. And he blessed Jacob instead of Esau, but he couldn't take it back. He had to go ahead and bless. Jacob was already blessed because his father had already spoken this prophecy over him. And it was there, and it stuck. The second son came along, Esau, and said, could I get a blessing too? He took my blessing. He stole it. Can I have one? And the father said, well, I'll give you what I have. And basically his blessing was, you're going to have to serve your brother because I gave him the blessing. Blessing's a big deal. Well, what kind of blessings do we have in our position in the kingdom of God? Ephesians chapter 1 begins that. You'll see part of this on the screen. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Who has blessed us? Where? In the heavenlies. Where did He speak the blessing? In the heavens. He didn't speak it on earth. We have it on earth, but He spoke it in the heavens. He blessed us, talking about the church, and you as an individual and the church as a group. He blessed us in the heavens, which means it is forever. It cannot be erased. It means it is there. It is still there. It's there for every generation. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, who has blessed us in the heavenlies with every spiritual, would it help to say supernatural, every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing. You have everything God wants you to have. Now, he speaks these things over you, over us, because he says, I'm giving you this. I'm prophesying this over you. This is my word. When God said, let there be light, we still have light. When God created the worlds by his talking, he talked in Genesis. He spoke this and he spoke that and he spoke the other and it all came to pass. And then he called Adam and Eve and he said, I want you to speak over the animals. I want you to name the animals. So God is a speaking spirit and so are we. And he says here, I have blessed you in the heavenly realms. From his own throne room, he has blessed us with every, nothing lacking, right? Every spiritual blessing. Now, some people say, well, I'd rather have something I can see. I'd rather have some more money. I'd rather have a better house. Not realizing that if God blesses you in the eternal world with a spiritual blessing, that leads to everything you need. That leads to, Jesus said, if you seek the kingdom first, all these things will be added to you. So don't worry about physical blessings as much as you think about the supernatural blessing that you already have. You already, keep this in mind. That's why I said you got to have ears to hear. Keep this in mind. This is already yours, he says here. Has blessed is has past tense. Past tense. When's God going to get around to blessing you with this? He already has. He already has. Do you have ears to hear? He already has what? Bless me, you, us, with everything he can possibly think of. And God doesn't miss anything, does he? Spirit blessing, spiritual blessing. I used to think that was kind of, I don't know about that. I'd rather have something I could see. No. If you're blessed in the supernatural, the world can't take that away from you. If you're blessed by God, the devil can't take that away from you. He spoke it in the eternal world. And it's ours. So we don't have time to get into all the blessings he did. We'll talk about those later. But let's look at the first one. For he did what in verse 4? Chose us in him, or in Christ, before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. He chose us. You, us. He chose us. Now we get crossed up with that sometimes because I've even heard people say, well, he chose the church. He didn't choose you. He chose the church. But there are too many passages that say otherwise, that he chose, actually knew you. We'll talk about some of those later. That he knew you before the foundation of the world. Did it surprise God when you were born? Did he say, oh, I didn't count on that one? Did he know you would accept Christ? Those he foreknew. We'll get to Romans 8 later on. Romans 8 talks about that. So he blessed you and he blessed us. People say, well, he just chose the church and, you know, not us individually. Let me put it to you this way. If you need to go to Dallas, Texas, from Monroe, and you need to go in a hurry, and you call up and you say, I need a ticket. Somebody over there is very sick. I need to get over there. So I need to get a ticket. When can I get to Dallas? They look through the log on the computer and they say, well, you can leave tomorrow morning. Leave tomorrow morning at 7:30. You want to do that? Yes, I need to go. Tomorrow morning at 7:30, I'll be at the airport ready. The flight leaves at 7:30. So you got to be here and go through security and be checked out. But you get on the plane at 7:30. It'll have you there in short order. And you'll make the flight will land over there in Dallas about 8:30. Five, eight, four. They're pretty quick, aren't they, from here to Dallas? A couple of hours anyway. So you go and you meet and you have an appointment. You basically have an appointment because you've paid your money and you get there and they take you through security. And you go through security and you get on the plane. And sure enough, the plane takes off on time. That's unusual sometimes. And the plane takes off on time, headed to Dallas, Texas, and it's going to get you there at a certain time, in time for you to meet with the people in your family that are going to be there at the hospital and sick, checking on the sick person. So you get on the plane and the plane takes off. Now that plane is predetermined. It's predetermined, the flight plan, isn't it? There's a predetermined flight plan. You can't just jump in and go. And so the predetermined flight plan to get it to Dallas on this certain time, and you're on that plane, and guess what? You have the same destiny as that aircraft. Everybody on that plane has a predetermined appointment to go to Dallas, Texas, and so do you. So do you have an appointment to go to Dallas? Yes. Does the plane have an appointment? Yes. Is the church chosen by God? Yes. Were you chosen by God? Yes. Because that plane has a flight plan. I remember a funny story about the man that invented Walmart, Sam Walton, and all that, and he started in a little town up in Arkansas, and he had his own plane. He eventually got his own plane. He loved to fly. And somebody that knew him said he'd get in that plane at that small airport and just take off. Wouldn't talk to anybody, just zoop. And all of a sudden, air traffic control is looking up, and there's a plane flying across the airport. And what's that? Who is that? And one of the old guys had been there a long time. Yeah, that's Sam. He just takes off when he wants to. But usually they have a planned flight plan. Does the church have a destiny to end up with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? That's where the church is headed. Okay, you're on the plane, aren't you? You accepted Christ. I assume most of you did. You accepted Christ, and you put your faith in Him, and you did what He told you to do. So here you are, and the church is headed to that great, wonderful destiny. The church has been chosen to defeat the evil one. The church has been chosen to get there and to rule and reign in eternity, and you're a part of that, so you've been chosen. You have been chosen. Do you have ears to hear? Does that mean anything to you? Like, ooh, God knew me before I got born. Does that impress you? Did God knew you before you were born and knew all your ways and knew He knows the day you're going to die? And so He knows all that. And He picked you. He picked you. And He said, I want this one. Now, there are a lot of reasons, and this is a big deal in theology. Been going on for hundreds of years. Does God sovereign, or does God give you a choice? And the answer is yes. God is sovereign, and God gives you a choice. The Bible's full of choices that people made. Some made the right choice, some made the wrong choice. So God knew you, and He picked you. When I was a kid in school, we'd play on the playground, and PE, they called it, physical education. And so you get up a ball team, let's play ball, play softball. And so then you have those tense moments when the coach says, all right, you pick a team and you pick a team. Start picking. And you're standing there hoping you get picked, right? I have to admit, I didn't get picked very early in the picking process. I wasn't drafted very early, but eventually I got picked. Might have been the last one. So you're kind of nervous about, I hope they don't say we don't need you, right? God picked you. When did He pick you? According to Ephesians 1, it was before the creation of the world. He says here, praise be to God, verse 3 of Ephesians 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who has blessed, so it's already been done. Bless us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Verse 4, for He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. How are we holy and blameless? God calls you that. Why does He call you that? Because of Jesus. Because you are in Christ and Christ is in you, and God looks at you and says, oh, Jesus, holy, blameless. And you're sort of hiding inside Jesus, right? Saying, good. Put yourself back on that airplane again. What, 30, 35,000 feet, 500-600 miles an hour? You can't do that with your body, but that plane can. And you stay in that aircraft, you're fine, right? If it's flying right and you're in there, you don't have to worry about, my body can't take 600 miles an hour or 500 miles an hour. My body can't take 35,000 feet. Without some help. So we're in Christ and we're safe in Him. We're safe in Him because His destiny and our destiny are the same. His destiny and the church's destiny are the same. So relax and say, I'm chosen. God picked me. Out of everybody He could have picked, well, He's picked millions, I guess, but He picked you. And He picked the church, of course. First of all, He chose Christ. Christ is the Lamb slain, I believe it's Revelation says, the Lamb slain before the creation of the world. So God had a plan. Isn't that amazing? God had a plan before He created Adam and Eve. He knew Adam and Eve would fail because He made them in His image. He gave them freedom of choice. And guess what happens? You give somebody freedom of choice and the devil comes in There's always a competition. So he chose Christ before the foundation of the world, and then he chose us in him long time ago. When you became a believer on Christ, it didn't shock God. He planned for you. Imagine a family having a baby, and they're going to have a baby, and so they plan everything, and they get the nursery ready, and they open up a bank account. Maybe it's a well-to-do family, and they got a trust fund for the child. Here comes a child into this world that doesn't even know how to ask for a drink of water, laying there in the bed, can't feed itself, can't clean itself up, can't even talk, and just laying there at the mercy of all these people around the baby. But the parents have made plans. They planned for that child. They planned a nursery. The child is born into it. They have a place to live. They have a place that's warm in the winter and cold in the summer, cool in the summer. They have plenty of food. God birthed you. That's why it's called born again. You're chosen. Chosen. In him. Is that what the Bible says? Do you have ears to hear? Okay, are you grabbing this? Or are you saying, hey, that's for me. I don't understand it all yet. I don't think anybody really does except God. I don't understand it yet, but oh, that's for me. I'm gonna live like that. I'm gonna find out more about that. Chosen in him before the creation of the world. Let me talk to you a minute about some chosen people. There's a slide up here with Abraham on it. Is that up there yet? Yeah, Abraham. God said this about Abraham. He started with Abraham because God needed to build a tribe of people, a nation of people to bring the Messiah. So he picked Abraham. There weren't really any Jews when he picked Abraham. He was the first one. And he picked Abraham. And he said here, when this was written about what God said about Abraham, God was hearing that he needed to deal with Sodom and Gomorrah because it was so horrible. He said the outcry. Sounds like somebody was praying in Sodom to get this mess off of them because it was a horrible, horrible, deadly, violent situation. And so evidently somebody was praying, and God said, I've heard the outcry, and I need to go do something about that. And then it says in this passage in Genesis 18, Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I have chosen him. There's almost a human-like quality to this, that God is saying, I've got to go do this in Sodom. I'm hearing this outcry. I'm going to send some angels. I may have to destroy the city. And then he says, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? I mean, why would God want to talk to a human being about that? I thought God was sovereign and God did what he wanted to do. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? And then he uses this passage here. For Abraham will surely become a great and powerful nation, and all nations on earth will be blessed through him, for I've chosen him. And he goes on to say he'll teach his kids the right way, and he'll be this great nation. So did God choose Abraham above all other people in Abraham's day to be the first one of a nation that would later be called Israel, and a nation that would bring the Messiah's flesh body into the world? Abraham was chosen. We still talk about Abraham's faith today, don't we? There's another one here, Deuteronomy chapter 4. God chose Israel. See that next slide? God chose Israel. And he's talking about that in Deuteronomy. Moses is talking about it in Deuteronomy chapter 4. Because he loved, talking to the Jews, because he loved your ancestors and chose their descendants, meaning them, right? He loved your ancestors and chose you, the descendants after him. He brought you, Israel, out of Egypt by his presence and great strength. He chose you. He chose Israel. He said, I need a group of people that will be in the earth. I'm bringing them out of their slavery. And they're descended from Abraham. And they're going to be this nation that I'm going to use to bring a person, the Son of God, to save the world. So he chose Abraham. He chose Israel for this great and amazing purpose. So the Bible is full of passages about people being chosen. There's another one here in Matthew. The kingdom of heaven, you've heard this verse. The kingdom of heaven is like a king who held a wedding feast for his son. And then I skip part of the story, but for many are called, but few are chosen. You heard that before? Many are called, and few are chosen. What's going on with that passage? Look at Matthew. That's in Matthew chapter 22, isn't it? Yeah, Matthew chapter 22. Look at the whole story, Matthew chapter 22. It's an interesting story. What did Jesus say this was like? What is it like? Kingdom of God. Are we in the kingdom of God? You have ears to hear? Okay. He says this in Matthew chapter, Jesus said Matthew chapter 22 at the beginning of the chapter. He spoke to them again in parables, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who prepared a wedding banquet for his son. Is that a big deal? The king of some nation. The king, he's having a wedding banquet for his son. I think that's an important event. He sent his servants to those who had been invited to come to the banquet to tell them to come, but they refused to come. He sent people out saying, come to this wedding banquet for my son, and they refused. He sent some more servants and said, tell those who have been invited, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fattened cattle have been butchered. Everything's ready. Come to the wedding banquet. But they paid no attention to him. One of them went off to his field, another to his business. The rest seized his servants, mistreated them, killed them. The king was enraged. Naturally, sent his army to clean up that town. Jesus said, you know, the kingdom is a lot like that. The kingdom of God, got to have ears to hear, the kingdom of God is a lot like that. Like what? King. Invites everybody to a big feast. His son's getting married. But they ignored him. Kind of sounds like the world today, doesn't it? They ignored him. And they even were hostile to him. Verse 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding banquet's ready, but those I invited did not deserve to come. Go to the street corners and invite to the banquet anyone you find. So the servants went out in the street, gathered all the people they could find, both good and bad. Does that sound like the kingdom? You don't have to be anybody. You don't have to be anybody to be in the kingdom of God. But you have to be chosen, invited, right? You're invited. Both good and bad, the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he noticed a man there not wearing wedding clothes. Friend, he said, how'd you get in here without wedding clothes? The man was speechless. The king told his attendants, get rid of this guy. Well, he wasn't dressed right. Now, what does that mean? Well, just a parable. Most people, when they have a wedding, they want people to be nice, dress nicely, don't they? Or a funeral, not everybody, but most. And certainly if you're going to, if the president has a grandson getting married, I imagine you got the invitation in the mail. President wants you to come to Washington, D.C. and come to the big banquet for his grandson getting married. And you say, I don't know how come I got this. Why did I get this? I don't even know the president. It's probably a joke. And then you do a little research and you find out, no, it's for real. He just picked some people out from out of each state out of the union, picked some people out and said, come to the wedding feast. Well, you go to the wedding feast and you show up and you've been working on your car, rolling around under the greasy car and you got dirty jeans on and your clothes are all nasty and you haven't taken a bath in a month, and I don't think they'd let you in, would they? What's Jesus saying with this parable? Many are called. Has the call gone out to the whole world to accept Christ? Has the call gone out to the whole universe, to the whole world, to come? Jesus said, I stand at the door and knock. The call has gone out to everybody. You can be a part of this. You can have this. Many are called, but few are chosen. Why are few chosen? because God knows those that are His. Paul wrote one time, the firm foundation is this, that God knows those that are His. You say, well, how do I know I've been chosen? Well, you're here, aren't you? You have enough interest to be here. You have enough interest to open your Bible. You have enough interest to come to class. You have enough interest in it to say, I'm going to live that way. I believe that God has brought me into His kingdom. It's all by faith. The wedding clothes idea is the idea that you come to this kingdom, you come to this banquet with faith. You got to wear faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So you come into the kingdom with faith, and you say, I believe that. I believe what He said. I believe that in the person that said it, I'm trusting the person who said it, and I believe. You're chosen. So He said, we're chosen. Many are called, but few are chosen. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. I hope you have ears, because this is a good one here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Actually, it's verse 27. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. God chose. We're still on chose. We're still working on being chosen. God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things, things that are not, to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before Him. Verse 26, back up to verse 26, He said, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. He says to the church at Corinth, you just ordinary folks. Nobody was knocking on your door all day long because you had some kind of wisdom that the world wanted to have. Kings and rulers were not asking you for advice. Think about who you were when you came to Christ. He said, God likes to choose the ordinary to shock those who are privileged. Isn't that something? So He said, you know, you were not anything special when you were called. Now you are now because you've been called and chosen. He said, you weren't anything special when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards, not many influential, not many of noble birth, but you got chosen. Why? Because God said, I just want to show the world I do this. It's not human flesh doing this. I'm doing this, and I choose whomever I wish to shock the world a little bit. The world generally looks down on the church, don't they? They generally do. They generally do because they think, well, we got it wrong, and we don't know what we're talking about, and we're living in a dream world, and we believe in mythology and all this stuff, and the world is supposedly science and logic and all of that. And they look down on the church. And I feel sorry for our kids in school, especially high school, junior high, middle school, and high school. Because one way you can not become a cool person in school is talk about Jesus. They'll all back away from you, right? Why? God chose you to show that He's smarter than those people. Is God a lot smarter than those people? Okay, so He picked you. Look at who God chose. And you have to say to yourself, I was wondering about that. Could I really be chosen because I'm nothing special? According to that verse, you qualify. You qualify. Whosoever will may come, many are called, but only a few are chosen. I qualify. Are you a whosoever? Well, you qualify. You qualify for the kingdom. Because the qualification is not in us, it's in Jesus. It's in what He did. It's in what He did. And we got to remember that. Got to keep that focus. Got to have ears to hear, right? There's another one here. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, a beautiful verse about this very idea of being chosen. 1 Peter 2, beginning of verse 9, talks about before that talks about how people had stumbled and didn't accept Christ, Christ's enemies. But verse 9, but you are a chosen people. Who's he talking to? Church. You are what? Chosen people. A royal priesthood. Wow. Can you imagine a great priest, a great high priest in the Old Testament is also of royal blood? Boy, he'd be honored in that community, wouldn't he? Are we a royal priesthood? What's a priesthood? We offer sacrifice to God. What's our sacrifice? Us. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. Romans chapter 12. So we are a royal priest. The world does not understand us. The world does not recognize us. The world does not think much of us. But look at where their priorities are. First of all, God didn't choose them because they're like Pharaoh. Pharaoh hardened his heart every time God spoke to him, right? And the world does that. Royal priesthood, a holy nation. What's a holy nation? We're not a nation in the sense of the way the world thinks. We are a nation of people in God, in Christ. Holy means you're set aside for God's work. You're set aside for God's purpose. You have a purpose in life. That's what holy means. You have a purpose in life that's God's purpose. And so this is the idea of you're chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness. We didn't qualify as far as who we were. Called you out of darkness into what? His wonderful light. So we are supposed to be declaring the praises of God. Verse 10, once you were not a people, now you are the people of God. Now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're a chosen people, he said. God picked you, and he brought you out. And he brought you out of darkness, and he brought you into that wonderful light that God has. It's amazing. It's all to his praise, isn't it? So you got to have ears to hear. You might be thinking, well, I don't deserve anything like that. I've heard people say, well, I don't even deserve to go to heaven. I just want a little cabin in the corner. I don't even deserve a mansion. And forget that. You're going to go as an owner. You're part of the royal priesthood. You're a child of God. Well, who owns heaven? God your Father. When you come home, kind of like the prodigal son came home. Father didn't want him to, the son kept saying, oh, I just want to be a slave. I don't deserve anything. No, come on in. We're going to have a big party. Because the one I thought was dead is now alive. When you go to heaven, as a celebration. And when you go to heaven, the heavenly realms, can you imagine going, not just going to heaven, but going there as an owner, because your daddy owns the place. The angels work right now, according to Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14. It's not on the screen there, but you can write it down, Hebrews 1, 14. The angels work for you. They already now work for you. Don't say, when I die, I hope to become an angel. No, you're not. They work for you. And when you get to heaven, you're God's child. You're going to be like Jesus at the right hand of God, especially after the resurrection. We're just like Him, raised to be like Christ. Do you have ears to hear where you say, I'm going to believe the best about God. I'm going to believe the best about His Word. I'm going to accept this. I'm going to stop thinking that thinking I grew up with, or that stuff they gave me in church that wasn't accurate. I'm going to say whatever God says, whoever He says I am, that's who I am, and I am chosen. He could have chosen a lot of other people, but He chose me. He could have picked a lot of others, but He picked me. You got to have that mentality that says, I believe that. I believe that. Raise your sights a little bit. Say, that's who God is. Does God do anything on the cheap? Did God make one generic brown bird and say, well, there's a bird? If you have bird feeders in your backyard like we do, you see all kinds. And you see birds, everything from, if you look at the world of birds out there, you see everything from eagles and falcons to parakeets and hummingbirds, and just God just is lavish. He's lavish in what he does. So you matter to God because God chose you. He said, I want you. What do you want me for, God? I'm a nobody. That's one reason I want you. I want to show these people out here who are full of themselves and full of pride what I can do. I brought you out of that darkness. You didn't even know your way out, did you? You know, if you're in a building and it all goes totally dark at night and you don't have any exit lights, it's hard to find your way out. You couldn't even find your way out. God pulled you out of that. He showed you his light and brought you out. Here you are, chosen. It bothers me, and should bother all of us, when I see Christians. I hope you have ears to hear. Who down themselves all the time. Well, I'm just a nobody. I won't ever amount to nothing. I'm just poor. I'm poor but proud. And somebody said both of those are wrong. You know, it's like none of those are good. Poor but proud. Neither one's very good, is it? Raise your sights a little bit. Have ears to hear. If God says I'm chosen, guess what? I'm going to be happy the rest of the day because I found out God picked me. I got scripture for it, right? I got verses for it. That I'm in the kingdom of God because he wanted me in the kingdom of God, and he made plans before he ever created Adam and Eve. He made plans for you to be in the kingdom of God. Does that make you happy? Do you have ears to hear? You say, oh, I never realized that. Sometimes we hear verses. We hear verses. And when you hear verses, it's just, okay, I heard that before. I heard that before. Yeah, I'm here. He's saying that again. And you ever seen a mama with a new baby, like a little toddler, and kids playing out on the playground? And that mama's got her back to the playground talking to somebody. And her baby falls and cries. What does mama's head do? She knows that cry. She's got ears to hear. She's got a different sound in her ear than all these other kids laughing and talking and playing. Can you hear those words of God and let them go into your spirit and say, I got ears to hear this. I needed to hear this. Did God pick me before the foundation of the world? That I'm in the kingdom of God because he wanted me in? I didn't just stumble around and find it. He kept pulling me and drawing me and giving me ideas and bringing people across my path and bringing me in. This says we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Once you were not a people of God, and now you are a people of God. We are God's people. Once you were not a people, meaning a nation, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. You're chosen. And that last slide is a graphic about the Lord of Lords and King of Kings that we read. I think we read that at communion, didn't we? And look at the last bit of that. This is Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. What does it say? These will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them, for he is Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Because in the great victory over the evil one at the end of time, you're going to be there. And you're going to be with Jesus. And we're all going to celebrate together, aren't we? That we have been chosen. It is to God's glory that we have been chosen. Father, we are grateful. Let's pray together. We are grateful that you have chosen us and blessed us with all these advantages. We ask you, Father, now that last thing that we just saw in that scripture was not only that we are called and chosen, but we are faithful. We pray that you stimulate us, that we have had ears to hear, and these things will matter to us. They start mattering to us how much you care for us. Thank you. In the name of the Lamb, in the name of the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, we pray this prayer. Amen.